Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the LX Medical First Half FY 2019 Results Presentation Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. At which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Friday the 22nd of February, 2019. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, the CEO of LX Medical Lasers Limited, Mr. Tom Serlin. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, operator. Guys, it's Tom Serlin here, and thank you very much for taking the time to join us on today's call as we provide an overview of our results for the first half of 2019. Joining me this morning is Dr. Tom Duthy, who is our investor relations and corporate development person. I hope you all have a copy of the first half presentation. We'll be transitioning the slides directly for you. Slide two, Tom. I draw your attention to our legal disclaimer. On to three. Our key financial information for the first half ended 31 December is highlighted along with certain market information pertaining to our securities. Some investors will recall that late in the half, LX commenced trading on the U.S. OTCQX Best Market with the ticker ELXMY and ELXMF. Our listing on the OTCQX is expected to increase the visibility of our business to U.S. investors and drive greater awareness on our company. Turning to number four. LX is a world leader in the design, manufacture, and sale of a comprehensive range of ophthalmic lasers, and we have an evolving business in consumable devices, and we have our diagnostic equipment. Collectively, these products serve multi-billion dollar markets, namely glaucoma, diabetic eye disease, secondary cataracts, age-related macular degeneration, and vitreous opacities or floaters. Our installed base of lasers is around 35,000 units, and to date, more than 100,000 LX iTrack catheters have been sold and used in procedures to treat glaucoma. That'd be 100,000 procedures. Our sales and infrastructure base is a significant barrier to entry and competitive advantage with a direct sales force in our major markets in the USA, Japan, Germany, France, and Australia. Outside those countries, we have about 50 distributors in over 100 countries selling LX-branded products on our behalf. Our financial resources have been directed in recent years to the high-growth segments of glaucoma and AMD. Within glaucoma, there has been a shift to minimally invasive glaucoma surgery devices by ophthalmologists versus surgery, which benefits our iTrack market trajectory, while at the same time, the market in the treatment of early-stage glaucoma is shifting towards laser-based interventions like LX's SLT as a first-line therapy, either in combination with or to replace drug-based therapies. These are very important themes to our business growth. To slide five. We have three major strategic initiatives which we introduced to investors at our November annual general meeting, summarized there. These strategies are specifically designed to drive shareholder value by utilizing the EBITDA from our lower growth but strong dominant market position in laser and ultrasound to leverage into our high-growth iTrack consumable device business in glaucoma. We also plan to capitalize on the strong clinical trial results for our novel patent-protected laser, we call 2RT, to treat intermediate forms of macular degeneration. I'm pleased to say sales of 2RT have increased strongly since those results were released in September, which supports our view that the results obtained were clinically meaningful with an excellent safety profile to warrant use in approximately three-quarters of the population of people with AMD, intermediate AMD. On slide six, we have our group financial summary. Today, LX reported global revenue $41.6 million. They were up 9% on the prior corresponding period and 3% on a constant currency basis. Our 4U revenue compound annual growth rate stands at 8%, which has outperformed overall industry growth rates over the same period. Although the company experienced a reasonable currency tailwind over the period through the depreciation of the Australian dollar relative to the US dollar and euro, which benefited sales, reported sales, operating expenditures grew 21% or 14% in constant currency terms. As mentioned in the previous slide, we continue to invest in our high-growth glaucoma and intermediate AMD segments to drive future growth. These segments tend to have, or do have, higher US and Euro-denominated exposure. Our gross margin, which we report excluding production labour, was up 678 basis points to 62.4%, reflecting currency benefits, of course, but also the improved mix dynamics through a higher proportion of sales of our higher margin products in glaucoma. At the EBITDA level, the group recorded a loss of $850,000, which was an improvement of 12% versus the PCP. Operating cash flows of $1.8 million were cash outflows of $1.8 million were recorded, principally due to higher working capital associated with inventory levels associated, and we'll get onto the lower than expected November and December sales ahead of the demand in the second half, and also our inventory growth for iTrack to support that business. On slide seven, we have our revenue by geography. It compares and contrasts the revenue in each geographic region and shows the effect in some detail of currency on in each of those regions. Our North American market, primarily the United States, continues to be LX's strongest market by absolute growth in dollar terms and by mix, with 44% of LX global revenues now from this important region. As will be a continued theme of the presentation today, the growth we have seen in the US is a function of iTrack sales growth and SLT laser growth, SLT for treating glaucoma, both utilized in the treatment of glaucoma. Our European market recorded a decline in sales of 7% versus the PCP and represents 22% of LX's sales mix. The primary drivers of the decline in the first half were a decrease in the ordering rate from our German distributor of iTrack, which is into a takeover by a Japanese device company, Hoya, which caused some misdirection of effort, and an overall decline in the purchasing sentiment in the region, in the European region, across our laser range. We were pleased, however, with the initial ordering across Europe with our 2RT laser for AMD. Our initiatives in Japan are focused on sales of higher margin lasers, which although has come at the cost of absolute top line revenue, there has been, which was down 8%, our gross margins have improved. This was particularly important to us. Our Asian growth of 90% was impressive and largely due to the effect of the increase in Chinese iTrack sales, along with solid regional demand for our other LX products. Australia and New Zealand sales were up 17% on the PCP, primarily due to an uptick in SLT sales for glaucoma and the initial positive reaction from our lead clinical trial in AMD driving sales orders for 2RT. We also look at our revenue by eye disease for capital equipment. Slide 8 shows our revenue split by eye disease we treat, including diagnostic ultrasound. We have four periods there showing. As I've already noted, pointed out, LX continues to see strong customer demand for its SLT laser to treat glaucoma. with growth of 21% on the PCP and 18% in constant currency terms, this category has delivered an impressive three-year CAGR of 20%. We continue to believe the market is underpenetrated, driven by a shift in the practice management of early glaucoma towards non-invasive laser-based interventions like SLT. The evidence is significantly strong to indicate SLT can lower intraocular pressure as well as pharmaceutical eye drop regimens currently prescribed, which have poor compliance and side effects. Reimbursement is also driving adoption, and as such, SLT is now increasingly becoming standard of care in early glaucoma treatment, particularly in the United States. Our cataract and vitreous opacity lasers were down 11% versus a PCP, reflecting the focus by LX on the higher margin reflex, we call the reflex range of treaters of lasers for treating floater or vitreous opacities versus the lower margin secondary cataract lasers. So we took a small fall in the volume, but our margins improved. As indicated, 2RT recorded an impressive, 532% increase in sales, albeit off a low base compared with the PCP, but we remain excited by the long-term growth profile of this particular laser. Our diagnostic ultrasound sales were disappointing. The customers deferred orders ahead of a planned new product introduction this coming half. Revenue, slide number 9 shows our revenue composition with capital and consumable devices combined. And then shows all the other devices in one category. Our glaucoma segment has shown sales growth of 18% versus the PCP and 15% in constant currency terms, and now comprises 56% of our total sales versus 50% in the PCP. I wanted to highlight this in the context of two macroeconomic reports that call out the expected growth in the MIGS segment for glaucoma, where iTrack has outperformed considerably to date with a 33% three-year CAGR, while LX's SLT franchise has grown 20% over those 3 years. This has offset the decline of all other diseases, reflecting their relative market maturities. Our strategy for those markets, for those products, is to focus on higher margin products, significantly differentiated feature-wise from competitors, to stave off common pricing pressure that has been evident in the market today. Slide 10, we talk about operating expenditure. Commensurate with LX's group strategy investing into the business to position ourselves for major growth in glaucoma and AMD markets, our operating expenses grew 21% versus the PCP, although in constant currency, this was just 14%. Employee expenses grew 22% on the PCP due to our expanded sales and management footprint in the US for iTrack, along with FX headwind in a pretty much exclusively US dollar denominated sales and commission structure. Sales and marketing expenditure increased 49% to $3.7 million, given our promotional activities for iTrack, SLT, and the education and awareness build for 2RT post the lead clinical trial result. Our sales and marketing, which is predominantly foreign currency denominated, was also impacted by FX. Turning now to the iTrack device in particular, on page 12, we see that iTrack volumes globally increased by 14% on the PCP, and revenues were up 24% and 16% in constant currency to $6.5 million. In US dollar terms, pricing remained stable, driven by continued strong reimbursement available for the iTrack procedure for ambulatory surgical centers, hospitals, and the surgeons performing the procedure. As the chart highlights, we did see a material increase in the Australian dollar average price, which of course is partly FX related, but also a mix of benefit from higher percentage of direct-to-customer US sales, given the disappointing performance of our German sales during the half. Gross margins were positively impacted by economies of scale via volumes, along with the mix effects that I've described. Our segment EBITDA loss did, however, increase to $4 million during the first half as we continue to invest heavily in sales and marketing and the currency impact of the predominantly US dollar exposure. Getting more granularity, we go to slide number 13, where we talk about the LXI Track units by region across four previous periods. We note the US grew 27% and OUS sales were down 12% owing to a slowdown in ordering by Fritz Reich, which is in a takeover, has been taken over by Hoya. While China grew a credible 43% as clinician users increased and iTrack remains the only glaucoma mixed device in that distributor market. Slide 14. Shows our overall Australian dollar revenue per region. The depreciation of the Australian dollar had a marked effect on US-derived revenues, which were up 39%. Globally, our pricing was stable for iTrack. Slide 15 gives a fairly gives some detailed information on the iTrack in the USA, which is where we are most focused. Slide 15 presents a detailed synopsis of our US market opportunity. During the period, new account setups were very strong, growing 41% half on half and 32% over the PCP. We now have 327 accounts in the US for iTrack. Importantly, from the perspective of a more efficient and effective sales force, our field sales personnel has grown 17% over the same period. In other words, we are significantly expanding our footprint without a commensurate expansion in headcount. We anticipate the strength in new accounts set up during the period will be a driver of good growth for iTrack in the coming periods. Our new orders grew 23% versus the PCP, while new order and reorder mix was stable versus the second half. We remain excited by the opportunities for iTrack in the US, very excited. When we overlay the accounts by ophthalmology specialty and by ambulatory surgical center, or ASC, we note our user penetration is approximately 5% of the available specialists who could use iTrack in their practices. While at the ASC level, which are the majority of our accounts, it is approximately 13% penetrated. I also wanted to update investors on our planned CapEx expansion at our Fremont facility in California. We had previously flagged a CapEx intention to increase our volume, but over the last 6 months, we've extensively reviewed our options with respect to our current capacity, management of shifts, and we currently know our capacity is in excess of 50,000 units per annum, which implies less than 25% utilization at our FY18 production volume. Accordingly, material CapEx has been deferred and we'll continue to monitor our needs. Slide 16 on laser and ultrasound. Investors will note that despite revenue growth of just 4% to $33.9 million, our lasers and ultrasound gross margin expanded by 620 basis points to 58.9%, and segment EBITDA improved dramatically by 53% to $5.9 million. The drivers for this solid performance at the gross margin and EBITDA level relate to our focus on selling higher margin LX lasers in the US and Japan, coupled with an acute focus on costs, given segment operating expenditure growth for the first half was flat and was down $1 million in constant currency. Although currency was beneficial to EBITDA, the overall result was driven by margin and cost-based leverage. As we have told investors previously, our laser and ultrasound EBITDA is invested into the growth opportunities for iTrack and 2RT. Hence, the group EBITDA loss at $850,000 remains modest. We have spoken about SLT glaucoma lasers, but I wish to point out that the performance of our retina lasers, which grew 5% to $7.8 million. We are viewed as best-in-class device for treatment of retinal disease, including diabetic macular edema and diabetic retinopathy. However, conventional photocoagulator treatment of these diseases has been impacted by the emergence of pharmaceuticals interventions via injections. Our growth of 5% was creditable in the context of the pharmaceutical interventions. As mentioned, our diagnostic ultrasound business, although a small percentage of our overall group, was a poor performer. We will launch new ultrasound products this half, which will encourage clinician purchasing. Our final segment, we separate our investment in 2RT. If we move to slide 19, there's the substantial growth through to 1.2 million. Nearly all of those sales took place in just the period from September 21 to 31 December 2018, September 21 being the release of the lead results. Gross margins did decline despite higher revenues off that small base, reflecting strong initial sales in the European markets, which are not in our direct sales territories. Segment EBITDA loss narrowed to 0.2 million. Perhaps unsurprisingly, given the strength of 2RT clinical data presented in September 2018, greater than 80% of the sales generated the first half came after the lead trial results, including our first sale of 2RT into the United States, where 2RT is FDA cleared for treating clinically significant macular edema. Procedure fee income doubled to 0.2 million. In the long term, that capitalizes very quickly. Our update on our initiatives for 2RT. As a quick recap, investors will note we have been resolutely focused on the education and marketing of the lead clinical trial results, which showed a clinically meaningful 77% reduction in the rate of progression to late AMD in 76% of the patients enrolled in the study at 3 years. LEAD was the first ever study to show a significant efficacy effect in an intermediate AMD population. We are strong believers in the clinical results of LEAD, despite the study not meeting the primary endpoint across the entire study population. LEAD data has been presented at EURETINA, a major conference in Europe, at the American Academy of Ophthalmology, both major conferences attended by over 30,000 clinicians and their associates, which has generated a number of sales prospects. Since the LEAD results, we have also established two important reference sites for 2RT, one at Stanford University in the US, in California, and another university in Germany. These sites will be important contributors to the knowledge base and the use of 2RT moving forward. As investors will know, LX has a regulatory clearance for 2RT in most major markets, with the exception of US. Integral to our strategy in 2019 is to delineate a regulatory pathway for 2RT in the US following the presentation and publication of the LEAD clinical trial data. To this end, we remain on track to establish a pathway to registration in 2019, and we have commenced direct pre-submission dialogue with the FDA. We are certainly interested to see some changes in the thinking of the FDA with respect to AMD studies generally, which have typically required a measure of visual function for clinical study endpoints to gain regulatory clearance. In this regard, we note two pivotal phase 3 studies in dry AMD, which utilize an imaging endpoint of retinal function as the primary endpoint, similar to the design of LEE. Last slide is on outlook. We are pleased to reaffirm our previous guidance to grow group sales and deliver an improved EBITDA performance in FY19, subject to global economic conditions and the foreign exchange rates. We were disappointed to see a slowdown in equipment sales in the US and EMEA in the latter part of the second quarter, November and December, which saw our revenues moderate relative to the update we provided at the AGM in October. We now expect iTract EBITDA to be similar to FY18 levels and lasers and ultrasound EBITDA to grow in FY19. We expect the momentum in our 2RT business to continue and as we continue our education and awareness campaign. Although investors will note that this is off a low base relative to LX's group revenues. So that concludes the formal presentation. I'd like to now hand the call over to the operator to commence any questions. Please go ahead, operator.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the pound or hash key. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your first question comes from the line of Tanushree Jain from Bell Potter. Please ask your question.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my questions. And
sure.
And congrats on a good result. Tom, just a couple on the CLU business before I move on to iTrack. With the cataract and vitreous opacities, you saw a decline over PCP of 11%. Can you maybe give us a bit more color as to, was this a decline with some of the shift moving to SLT, or was it a pure decline just with, I guess, your focus on just, you were just selling less product?
So there is, because we have the reflex technology on our SLT, on our top line SLT laser as well, there is no doubt some, we make more margin selling Tango with the floater treatment on it. And so we do try and push people to take a Tango reflex versus an UltraQ reflex. So there is some, I guess, cannibalization is the word. So that is certainly the case. And the other part is that we are increasingly moving away from, particularly in Europe, where conventional YAG lasers, photodisruptor, one of the most basic ophthalmic procedures, the product is commoditized, and so we sell less of those. And so we aim to sell more reflex lasers at a better margin. So the cannibalization and the focus on trying to not take low price sales are the reasons for that decline.
Right, and do you expect this cannibalization to continue for a few more years?
I guess so. We would like doctors to buy Tango reflexes rather than UltraQ reflexes. That's how we see it, because we make more money doing it that way.
Right, and then just on the retina lasers, I think we've seen a bit of a growth, and I think, you know, though it slowed a bit from your last trading update, is that a trend that you now expect to see, or is it a more of a one-off thing for this segment?
We were very pleasantly surprised by the retinal lasers. I think 5% growth was really good, but that has, as you know, that's more than we expected in that segment. So it's a small period. I don't think there's any trend suggesting that we're suddenly going to have an upsurge in that segment.
Right. Okay. And then just on the iTrack, the U.S. performance, as you mentioned that you did see a little bit of a slowdown in November, December in the U.S. Was there any particular reason or any particular region in the U.S. that contributed to that?
That slowdown is particularly referenced for the capital equipment for the lasers. It didn't really happen for iTrack. Well, it didn't happen for iTrack. So, no, there wasn't. The one thing that happened, which in hindsight, U.S. midterm elections seem to have an impact there. Uncertainty associated with that. So look, I don't see it as a trend that's continuing. It's just a capital equipment anomaly.
Right, but then if I'm looking at your appendix with iTrack unit sales, between second half of FY18 and first half of FY19 in the US, there's not a huge jump in unit sales. And I think when you did recall, did give us a trading update at 4 months, the growth seemed to be a bit higher.
Okay. Yep. Yes, you are right. So in relative terms, you're right. There had to be a moderation. I can't tell you, there was no specific region there. That's just, I consider that to be the randomness of the small numbers involved at this stage. I don't have any particular theme. We can go, yeah.
Right. And have you seen any improvement in your revenue per rep in the first?
We can do the maths, and revenue per rep is not improving. Overall, as we point out, the number of new accounts they're getting is improving, and we are still working on revenue per rep. There's no doubt. That's part of the improvements we're trying to make, or the continued work we need to do to make our business more profitable in the longer term.
Right. And just on the sales rep, can you give us what's your current sales rep count at the end of first half and what may be the plans for the next half? Are you planning to hire more people?
I think we're very much focused on improving our rep productivity rather than trying to have more reps. We are constantly moving reps on that are not performing. So we have, at the moment, 17 reps and 4 clinical trainers. So we see them, that number is 17 field reps and 4 clinical trainers. We then have 2 regional managers. So that's sort of the staffing of it at the moment.
Right. Okay. And just our last one on 2RT. So with the FDA plan, do you guys have a date as yet for a meeting with them?
No, we don't. We're not really reporting on that granularity yet. It's a process you gotta run.
Right. And then apart from focusing on FDA, I guess in order to drive your awareness of the lead trial results and adoption in Europe and elsewhere, have you given any thought to run some confirmatory trials with the sub-patient population that we really saw clinically meaningful benefit in the lead trial?
We think about lots of things. That's one of the things we think about, but we haven't made any decisions on that.
Tanu, it's Tom. Just to add to Tom Sperling's comment there, to implement that kind of strategy prior to thrashing out a registration pathway with the FDA is perilous and probably not an efficient use of capital until such time as we get that necessary feedback from the FDA. It's a little bit early to commit to a confirmatory subgroup study as being the primary or entire study population. Certainly, if the FDA does not warrant such an approach, then there's no burning desire to, A, fund that, and B, the duration of time is also the enemy for a study like that.
Right, okay, so that gives me some timeline. So basically, in case you guys do need to run a trial, you could make that as having some EU sites representations maybe to basically suffice both the jurisdictions.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yes, that is true.
Yeah, okay, thanks. That's very helpful.
Thanks, Tanu.
Your next question comes from the line of Alexander Sharoff from Maxim Group. Please ask your question.
Hi, Tom. So most of my questions were answered, but I just do have one more. On 2RT, as it's currently cleared for macular edema, and maybe in any other markets where you don't have the clearance you'd potentially desire would be able to get for AMD, can you talk a little bit about the opportunity to sell into there, even though you're somewhat, I guess, limited by what the clearance is?
When it comes to US, yes, we have, I guess we pointed out that we've made a sale to a US doctor under the clearance for clinically significant macular edema. We're basically not allowed to market the intermediate AMD therapy or indication for use, so it does limit our options. But doctors are approaching us because they've heard themselves, and if they there's a process that we can go through to educate them if they ask. So I can't really say any more than that at the moment. We're focusing outside the US, where we can talk about the, particularly in Europe, Australia, where we can talk about the indication for use for IAMD, intermediate AMD. There's leads and demand and process that we're going through to execute sales. Simple as that.
Great. Thanks for the color, Tom.
Okay. Thanks, Alex.
Your next question comes from the line of Hamish Jamson. Please ask your question.
Oh, hi, Tom and Tom. First of all, thanks for your very good work. You've got a lot of different projects underway, and it's been a busy year, and I think we'd like to acknowledge that.
Sure, thanks, Hamish.
About conference calls, this is really good to have it this time. Will you do regular conference calls in future to announce the results and for people to talk about them and give feedback, given you're getting more international?
Absolutely. I've got to give credit to Tom Duthie for organising that and advising us to do this. And Tom's joined us just since October, and this was one of his initiatives. And we're pleased to do it, and we'll continue to do it.
Great, because I think the more we can talk about it, the more people become aware of what Alex has to offer, and it's really important. The next question is about iTrack and the overall cash situation of Alex. You know, even though iTrack's doing well, it's probably disappointing compared to where everyone, I think, hoped it would be. You know, how much more cash has Alex got given the continued losses in the last year or two?
So the loss of $850,000 across the whole group is quite modest, and so I think the interesting part of our story is that we're close to cash self-sustaining. We continue to battle with our inventory levels, which is a major asset that we think can still fund more cash. So We believe we have sufficient cash to execute our plans because of the good results that come out of the laser business. So in addition to having cash on our balance sheet, so we're not really in a material cash burn place. So that's our position at the moment.
And realistically, though, it is hard work making headway in the US with iTrack. You know, there's a lot of big companies out there. And, you know, Glaukos, for example, its capitalization is $2.5 billion. It's selling on about 10 times 2018's sales.
Yeah.
you know, to have your Glaucon, sorry, Alex, to be capitalised at about 90 million Australian dollars for all, even just the iTrack technology is very, very low. Have you thought of partnering with another organisation or something, given your technology, maybe just them taking a share in the iTrack to help market it, to help improve your cash flow at the moment and, you know, give money to support 2RT and things like that, and also just increase the general capitalisation of Alex?
Yes. Well, no doubt, that little comparison you make haunts me most days, Hamish, to be honest. So, look, I can't really comment on, you know, what we might do or might not do, but we're very aware of that relative valuation. And it's a function of many things. Glaukos has started the heavy lifting. Did a lot under the early on with doctors when it was just a venture capital funded thing. It did a lot of work. It's lost a lot of money. I've done lots of comparisons, and it's supported by some great institutions in the United States. It's had some spectacular growth. But clinically, you know, we could show any sort of clinical data that shows ours is more effective at treating glaucoma. So apart from the fact that as directors and managers of the company, our job is to do the best for shareholders every day. So if there's an option that presents to us that can get a better return, then we will take it. Doesn't mean we're abandoning anything, but we believe that the idea of improving the take-up of our device with doctors will ultimately make us more attractive to whoever. Now, you know that I'm in Australia right now, I'm in Adelaide right now, but I live in the United States now, and that's part of the mission. So I know all those guys, and we talk. So it's everything's on the agenda all the time.
Yeah, okay? And I think that it's really good to do that, because both iTrack and 2RT have that huge potential, and as long as it's been considered, maybe not a takeover of Alex, but a significant investment in the technology to have a share of it, might start improving market capitalization and awareness of your skill technologies that you have.
Yeah. Tom?
And I think, Hamish, just to add to that, it's Tom Duthie. I think if you look at some of the metrics we've provided for the first time at this financial half year around particularly the leverage we're starting to get off that installed sales force as it relates to new account setups particularly, and if you then compare and contrast that to how penetrated we are in the United States, as Tom mentioned, we are seeing a measurable learning effect from our sales force, a very nascent sales force at the end of the day, whereby the account growth particularly was pleasing. And it's highlighting to us that the conversation with ophthalmologists, their general ophthalmologists or glaucoma surgeons, is becoming easier. And it's becoming easier as the awareness builds, and also we have two clinical publications that were published in the second half of calendar year 2018, which highlight the intraocular pressure lowering effects of iTrack. So it's always nice to be armed with some clinical evidence in the field if you're a sales rep. We're pretty excited that there's a long runway of opportunity as it relates to clinician users and ambulatory surgical centre use, coupled with the very good reimbursement the hospital and the doctor actually makes from the procedure. So with 33% 3-year compound annual growth, that is well ahead of some of our comparator companies and very pleased.
And even, you know, with Novartis, when they pulled their mixed product, a company that big may be interested in its own share in a mixed product.
Yeah, so that's Alcon. Yeah, Alcon, which is itself going to be spun out in, I think, March is their timetable, as a new listed entity on its own. Your point's well taken. Your point's well taken.
And I guess the next point, just moving on to the ultrasound sales, I know you're developing your new ultrasound equipment, and part of your impact this year in this this half is the poor ultrasound sales. Are they definitely going to come on, and are they going to replace what you have, and how much is going to anticipate?
Yeah, so the fall in ultrasounds is very disappointing, and that's just because we actually have been to be struggling getting the right new product out. And ultrasound users, it's a very software-intensive device, and we've got to make sure our software is very robust. So you have people walking around with laptops, and you've got to have a robust device. And that has not come on as fast as we want to, but we do have some great technology that we want to get out there, which we can get out there. And as you point out, given all the growth everywhere else, that $2 million fall or $1.5 million fall has quite a material effect on us, and the point's not lost. It's a high priority for me.
Yeah. Okay. And what have replaced both your main ultrasound products in this H219?
So we currently have two, and we want to stay at two, so we're probably going to retire one, but we haven't quite done that yet.
Going back to 2RT, and you talked on slide 19 about, obviously, 2RT had $1.25 million in revenue, and 0.2 million was procedure fee revenue. So is that the recurring revenue from the sales of the use of 2RT for those machines already sold?
So yes, because we had sold a few devices over the years, and so that is yes, that's a procedure from devices already sold. So we didn't. You know, selling something on December 31st doesn't get you any procedure fee revenue. That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And then the other, obviously, $1.05 million is from new equipment sales after the interest from the trial.
That's correct.
Yeah. I would have thought the recurring revenue would have been higher. In other words, those people who had machines would have used it a lot more, given the lead trial results.
They were using it at a rate before, those that had the device before. It's a pretty small base.
Pretty small base. And then my last question is, I know other people talked about it. Your update to the end of October was very strong. November and December were quite disappointing. You think it's more, you know, due to midterm elections. Will you give an update perhaps on Q3 sales sometime so the market gets an idea of where you're tracking? Was it a temporary bounce, or what's the next plan for an update?
So Tom Duthie here, Hamish. At this point in time, the answer to that question is unlikely, unless there is a material development either way for iTrack in the United States and indeed globally. We have been historically from time to time reporting iTrack quarterly, but from our perspective now, as we continue to grow that business and the volatility of the volume and revenues start to normalize as that usage grows, that we intend to report progress on iTrack as we have for the other 85% of our business, which is on a statutory half full year, with an update at each AGM as to progress.
So that's three times a year?
Three times.
Yeah.
But certainly with iTrack and others, if there are material developments, we will certainly announce those to the market.
And would you announce it if the laser gets released? If ultrasound gets released?
Yeah, that's a good question, Hamish. Yes, okay. Yep, we should let people know that. Yes.
Okay. Well, just one comment before I end. But again, thank you very much, Tom. I know you've done a really busy job managing these three different divisions and a lot of changes and the trial and everything. So thank you for your hard work. That's the end of my questions.
Okay. Thank you very much, Hamish.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, it's star one on your telephone. Your next question comes from the line of Tanushree Jain. Please ask your question.
Hi, Tom. Sorry, just a quick follow-up from me. Just on 2RT, is there, would you be able to give some idea of the installed base at the moment and I guess the difference you've seen in the units pick up since the lead trial?
I know the installed base. It's not something we've released. So we've provided some information in the past. So I don't want to give an update on that base. We generally sell the device for around $100,000 end user, and so there has been, and that in distributor markets, that's a bit lower price because you've got to give the margin. So I would just rely on the and do a bit of division based on that bit of guidance. We're giving the procedure fee, the total revenue, and generally speaking, you could ask a doctor how much they pay for it. So that gives you a feeling as to how many units we sold.
And what kind of margins are you getting at getting on it at the moment?
So we've disclosed that at for the capital equipment and distributor market, it's turning out well. We disclosed it at appendix.
So Tanu, the actual product gross margin is quite high, over the 80% product gross margin. But as Tom flagged in the call, that the sales of 2RT, those initial jurisdictions following lead, were not direct-to-market jurisdictions in Europe, so they were distributor-based sales, in which case that put the gross margin down to, I think it was 57% that we called out in the presentation. So that's just a function of the low volume directed to distributor territories, more than the actual true gross margin of the product, which is materially higher on a direct-to-market basis.
Yep.
All right. Okay. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. I would like to head the conference back to today's presenter. Please continue.
Thank you. Thank you very much for attending today, everybody. I appreciate the interest in our company. See you later.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.